bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Listener supported.
Here for you every day.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
It's Wednesday, May 4th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue with day three of our Relevant Radio Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. Once again, I just want to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your support yesterday. And again, so many of you have been giving in honor of our Blessed Mother Mary, in honor of your mothers here in this month of May. We still have a long way to go to reach our $3 million goal by Friday at 5 p.m. Central. We need your help early this morning to set the tone for the rest of the day. We're looking for 50 gifts this hour at relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app, or you can always call us at 877-291-0123. Again, on Wednesdays, I always remind you to pray to St. Joseph. He's a powerful intercessor. Go to Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church. We begin every hour during the pledge drive with the memorary prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, to help us with our pledge drive and for an end to legal abortion in our nation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are the stories that are making headlines this morning?
Of course, John, across the country, lots of fallout from that leaked document from the Supreme Court on a first draft of a decision on Roe v. Wade. Chief Justice Roberts has confirmed that is authentic. Protests across the country on both sides of the issue. The Senate looking to take action. And the last time they tried, only got 48 of the 60 votes they needed to enshrine Roe v. Wade as a federal law. We'll have more on that with Kristen Hawkins coming up in just a moment. The fighting continues in Ukraine. Western parts of the country being targeted by Ukraine, going after some transportation and power hubs as the weapons and materiel still pour in over the Polish border from NATO to help out the Ukrainians. And some power plants were hit in the Kyiv area, but power is said to have been restored there as well. The total now looks like about 7.7 million people internally displaced in Ukraine. Another 5.5 million have fled the borders of Ukraine. Just monstrous numbers in a short amount of time, John. And in politics, here in the U.S., a Republican Senate primary in Ohio, the Trump-backed candidate, author J.D. Vance, was the winner.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Obviously, we keep an eye on the news and always continue to pray for that humanitarian crisis in Ukraine. Much more a little bit later on. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 17:3. Jesus the Lord says, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples in his priestly prayer for unity. God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what it's all about, knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because there's no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved other than the holy name of Jesus. And so we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, as you know by now, Monday Night Politico reported that the Supreme Court has the five votes to reverse Roe v. Wade in their pending Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization decision. Justice Samuel Alito's leaked draft majority opinion stated, "We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled." In the aftermath, Chief Justice John Roberts has called for an investigation while protests have broken out all across our nation. It was an unprecedented leak, according to constitutional law expert Jonathan Turley, who spoke to Fox and Friends.
What is clear is that what occurred with this leak was an unspeakably unethical act. And it is unfortunately a sign of our times. We're living in an age of rage, where nothing seems inviolate anymore, no principle seems sacred. And it makes some of us feel almost naive. You know, even though this is a city that floats on a rolling sea of leaks, the court was always an island of integrity. But the court has a long tradition that it would not yield to politics, it would not yield to dirty tricks. Somebody shattered that tradition. And the investigation that will now ensue is going to shatter the culture. It's going to take a lot.
Now joining us live from Washington, D.C. for much more perspective is Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America and Students for Life Action. Kristen is a Christian, a wife, a mother, a grassroots activist, author, speaker, and human rights advocate who's coordinated a national team that serves 1,200-plus Students for Life chapters in all 50 states and has trained well over 100,000 young people. Good morning, Kristen. Thanks so much for joining us from D.C. Great to be with you, especially here in the middle of our pledge drive.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a historic moment, and it's an important moment. And so it's been an exciting couple of days.
No question about it. You know, before we get into Roe and the leak, just your thoughts on why it's more important than ever to support the platform that Relevant Radio gives to promoting the culture of life, something that you don't get in the mainstream media.
Well, I think the conversation that you're going to hear between you and I is very clear. This is something you will not hear in the mainstream media. You know, I was on MSNBC yesterday fighting just to convey basic facts and disagreeing with the well-respected host about the basic facts about Roe versus Wade and the very fact that Roe versus Wade and its companion case, Doe v. Bolton, allows for abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy. When you listen to Relevant Radio, you're getting the truth and you're getting facts. And then you can have a real discussion about what those facts mean and how we can, as Christians, live out our faith.
Well, Kristen, we so much appreciate your perspective. You always bring that passion for this issue, and you bring a very truthful perspective as well. I'd love to get your take on what's been going on here in the last 36 hours with this Supreme Court leak and the possible overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Absolutely. I mean, this is obviously this leak is atrocious, and I think the ramifications of what has happened will be something that will place irreparable harm onto the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court functions in the future. This draft was confirmed by the Chief Justice yesterday to be a legitimate draft, means that as of February, there were five votes to reverse Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, sending the abortion decision back to each and every state. We do not know if there are still five votes. And this is, I think, an important point for us to reflect upon and take action on, because now more than ever, our prayers for these Supreme Court justices matter. Prayers for now their safety and the death threats, and I assume that they're getting, just like how pro-life activists and our Students for Life activists are receiving death threats, but also prayers for their courage, because it's very clear that this leak was a desperate act from a, you know, pro-abortion, what's likely a pro-abortion activist within the Supreme Court, the goal being to stir chaos in Washington, D.C. within, like, literally within minutes from the leak, we were watching the Supreme Court police officers put barricades in front of the court. And then within an hour, buses started arriving with people, pro-abortion people, to protest the Supreme Court.
It was organized. So it seems like it was organized in advance.
It was very much organized. I mean, yesterday our team was out there all morning. We spoke to all the different reporters, but we had to leave. We had to hire armed security to be with us. By the time we were leaving in early afternoon, more buses were arriving, just of pro-abortion supporters. So it's very much organized. And they know what they're going to do. The other reason I think this leak happened is now the U.S. Senate has 2 months to discuss abolishing the filibuster and ramming through the Women's Health Endangerment Act, which would codify Roe into law, it would be a bill essentially that allows abortion to be legal in all 9 months for whatever reason, and it would actually go further than Roe because it would force all of us to pay for every single abortion. This is a bill that does not have traction. There was a vote in February, it did not have traction, but literally U.S. senators waited less than an hour after the news of this leak to start calling for the abolishment of the filibuster. Not only, you know, has how the Supreme Court functions been blown up, now they want to blow up how the Senate, U.S. Senate functions as well. And this is all an attempt to enshrine abortion into our law and force you and I to pay for it. So, I mean, we have to keep in mind why this leak occurred and what's going to be happening, as opposed to this decision coming out at the end of June, which is what, you know, we have been preparing for right before the 4th of July holiday, which is usually what happens. The court releases the most controversial decisions right as they're going on their way out of town for summer vacation. This leak has started this conversation in the Senate.
Well, we have much more to talk about this, but we need to just take a short break as we continue our conversation with Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side after this message from Father Rocky.
Hi, Father Rocky here, and this pledge drive is just flying by. If you haven't had a chance to make a donation yet, now's your chance. Today only, we have two special thank you gifts at the dollar a day giving level. The first is a book called How They Love Mary. And you're going to learn about how saints really loved Our Lady. St. Damian of Molokai, St. Padre Pio, St. Francis of Assisi, St. Thomas Aquinas, and we can learn from those saints. In addition to the book, we're going to include a very special Divine Mercy image, brown scapular that has a little St. Benedict medal and crucifix attached to it. The book and the Divine Mercy scapular are both yours if you give a dollar a day or more to support the work of Relevant Radio. Give now at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or you can call us at 877-291-0123.
And those are some of the sounds of the protests that have broken out in our nation's capital and across many parts of our nation as we continue our conversation on the aftermath of the Supreme Court leak of Roe v. Wade that is on the verge of being overturned with the president of Students for Life of America, Kristen Hawkins. Kristen, we were talking before the break, and you were giving us your take on why this reaction has been so over the top from the left, from the pro-abortion side.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to think, first we have to understand we have a nation of walking wounded. For nearly 50 years, our Supreme Court has told American women that they can suppress that icky feeling they have in their gut when they experience an unplanned pregnancy, and they can go ahead and get an abortion. And we have millions who didn't really want to have an abortion, never saw themselves in this position, who don't like to think of themselves as supporting the, corporate abortion agenda, but who went ahead with it and had the abortion. And now when they consider a nation that's going to walk back its previous ruling on abortion, when they consider that, it makes them irate. It hurts them because it means that they will have to deal with the feelings that they've never dealt with. They'll have to deal with what decisions they have made in their past. And I think that is why fundamentally, John, you see them so angry, why they're so angry. You also have young girls. I mean, me growing up since, the 80s, who have never lived in a nation without legal abortion. And we have always been told that our ability to be free, functioning members of society, to achieve our career and educational goals is somehow tied to abortion. And that without the right to kill our child, to pay someone else to end the life of our child, we won't be free. So last night, for example, our team was on a Planned Parenthood conference call. And after they had breathing exercises and they were telling everyone how to journal and express their trauma of the day, the quotes from some of these women on the call were astounding. Women who truly believe that they don't know how they're going to continue on in life, knowing that they don't have the ability, they won't have the right in every single one of our states to end the life of their child. We all know this decision, if this majority holds, if the final decision is released, which we pray it is, and we need to be praying every single day until that decision comes out that it is, it's not going to wipe out every single state's abortion laws. It's not going to make abortion completely illegal throughout our country. We and the pro-abortion analysts believe that there's likely 26 states that will move to make abortion illegal or severely, heavily restrict access to abortion in those states. So you're going to have about half the states, and these are large states where you all are at, in Chicago, Illinois, California, New York. You're going to have about half of states are still going to have abortion accessibility in them. And that's really, I think, the important point for us as pro-life activists and as Christians to understand that reversing Roe versus Wade is not the end of our battle. In fact, it's like the first check mark on a whole list of things we have to do. And our work actually becomes greater. And I take this responsibility very seriously, that this pro-life generation will become the first post-Roe generation. And we will be the ones called to lead and step up in these states. And this is the hard work. I mean, this is why, John, we launched Students for Life 16 years ago to be a post-Roe organization. This is why we have 1,300 chapters, why we trained 130,000 young people, because we're having conversations, changing minds of those most targeted by the abortion industry on campus. We're transforming college campuses to be places where no woman ever feels again like she has to choose between the life of her child and her education. But there was something bigger going on in the background, and that was we were preparing this generation to lead. And they know they're going to be called upon to go to the state capitals to work to make abortion unavailable and continue to work to make abortion unthinkable in their states. And in every single state, the strategy is going to be different. For example, the Hawkins family will be traveling to Kansas this weekend. We're going to be kicking off next Monday. I'll be door knocking in Kansas City because that's going to be the first state to have on the ballot abortion in August, where there's a statewide referendum trying to repute the state Supreme Court that said a few years ago that they have a right to abortion in their constitution. And we're going to be working to reverse that so then the state of Kansas can actually pass laws to save lives and protect mothers from the predatory abortion industry. So every single state is going to have a different strategy. And so our battle won't be focusing on, nine people at the Supreme Court. Our battle now will be focusing on every single state house. This is why Students for Life Action was active last night in Indiana. We've been door knocking in Indiana for weeks in races that weren't covered by Fox News and the mainstream media, but these were state legislative races because pieces of legislation we were at the Capitol in Indianapolis trying to pass were stonewalled by supposed pro-life candidates. And so we got involved in Republican primaries because we've got to make sure those elected officials we've been voting for, who've always said that they're pro-life, but, you know, I can't really, quote-unquote, do anything because, you know, of Roe, because of the Supreme Court. Now those elected officials are going to be called to act with courage. You know, they're going to be the ones to act.
Well, Kristen, we have about 30 seconds. Just a quick thought on how the mainstream media has been just losing their minds, how they've been reacting. You got a taste of Planned Parenthood. What about the media?
Yeah, the mainstream media is using all of Planned Parenthood's talking points. The right to privacy, which, by the way, is not in the Constitution, just like how abortion isn't in the Constitution. They've been talking about the horrific cases of rape and incest, using the tragedy of rape, the 1% of abortions are committed in cases of rape, to justify 100% of all abortions. So they are using all the talking points. The other talking point I'm hearing is, you know, this is unpopular. American people don't want this. That's not true. When young people, the most liberal voting bloc in America, know what Roe is, they don't like Roe.
Well, you are the pro-life generation. So much appreciate you being with us for some real perspective from a culture of life point of view. Thanks so much, as always, Kristen.
Thanks for having me, John. Thanks to Relevant Radio for all that you do.
Kristen Hawkins, the president of Students for Life of America. We need to take a short break. There'll be much more as we continue here on Morning Air.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
And welcome back to Morning Air on a Wednesday morning. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for being with us this morning as we continue with day three of our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. And now it's time to bring Rome to home as we do every Wednesday at this time. For the latest news from the Vatican, we go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. And, of course, you can read much more about them at johnandashley.org. Good morning. Buongiorno, Ashley. Always a joy to be with you from Roma, especially during our Give Hope Pledge Drive.
Well, John, I'm so happy to be with you during this special week. Thanks for having me today.
Well, Ashley, before we talk about the latest news from Rome, first of all, you've been with us for such a long time. You've been a longtime contributor to Morning Air. Why should our listeners continue to support Relevant Radio now more than ever and our mission of bringing Christ to the world through the media?
John, you know, what I've noticed is that right now, this is a moment of so many questions as there are problems going on with the world. There's even confusion within our church, but Relevant Radio is that place to find answers. It's that place to find comfort. And it really reminds us of the pillars of faith that we always stand on. It shows us how to make tough decisions. Relevant Radio helps us figure out how to reflect Christ in the darkness of our world, and it gives us hope. And I love that over here in Rome, people come and my husband John and I give them tours and spend time with them, and they tell us their real stories of how Relevant Radio has touched their lives and changed their lives. So there's so many good things happening, John, and we so appreciate your work and all of the team behind the scenes who's making it happen.
Well, thank you, Ashley. We can't do it without you either. We look forward every Wednesday to getting your perspective from Rome on what's going on in our church. And we do provide a platform to bring Christ to the world through the media and also to give voice to the Vicar of Christ, which you report on every Wednesday. In fact, speaking of the Vicar of Christ, what was the main focus of the Holy Father's Wednesday audience this morning?
Well, John, today Pope Francis' catechesis was on the gifts of old age, but specifically encouraging the elderly to give a strong witness of faith, reminding that that witness of faith can really fill the young generation with both determination and courage. And he looked specifically at 2 Maccabees chapter 6, verses 18 to 31, at the figure of Eleazar, who he was a 90-year-old man and have to keep in mind that this was quite old at the time, because in 170 BC, the life expectancy averaged around the age of 40. And Eleazar was ordered by King Antiochus IV, yes, Epiphanes, to eat pork, which was of course forbidden by Jewish law. And Eleazar, in doing this, he would be defiling the Lord. But so he refused. So the king's subjects gave him a little way out. They said, hey, just eat another type of meat, pretend that it's pork, and then your life will be saved. And basically the concept was, hey, what's the difference? This way you're going to be able to live. You can go free. But he understood that his life on earth was not the ultimate goal. And he refused to do that, to even consider breaking God's law, and also to give scandal to the young people around who might see him do this, not knowing that he was not actually eating pork. And so he was then killed for disobeying the king. And so today Pope Francis said that the honor of faith often finds itself under pressure like this, and sometimes it's even violent pressure from the dominant culture. And others are seeking to weaken that faith. He said they can sometimes treat it like what he called an archaeological endeavor or a superstition or an out-of-date practice. But in Maccabees, Eleazar offered a powerful witness of faith when he refused to eat that meat sacrificed to the idols, when he refused to cause scandal. And by doing that, he upheld the importance of consistency in the faith, especially in old age, said the Pope. And it showed young people how faith is always woven into life. It's not something that can be separated or compartmentalized. It's integral and it's consistent. And the Pope said modern societies often belittle the practice of faith, like we see in this scriptural example, and look at faith like it's something for old people to do. But instead, he said, the elderly have to keep in mind their important mission to restore the honor of faith, because faith, having faith actually is a sign of possessing strength. And he said, faith deserves respect and honor because it changes lives and it purifies minds. And it teaches the faithful to adore God and love their neighbor. And thus he concluded, John, that faith is a blessing for everyone.
Absolutely. And the Holy Father brings such great words of wisdom drawing from the Old Testament. But what he's saying is very relevant for us today. There are many similar challenges for us in this day and age.
Oh, absolutely. Because he also pointed out that the mindset of Gnosticism of today, it's very seductive and interprets a type of faith in its own way, but reduces it to a set of maybe rules or practices. He said, no, that's not what it's about. We have to remember what Christianity actually teaches us and be strong and true to our Catholic beliefs.
Ashley, can you give us a health update on the Holy Father? How is Pope Francis doing these last few days?
Yeah, sure. So, John, you probably noticed that really since February, his physical movements have been a lot more limited. And as you know, during these past weeks, he has canceled various events. And then in general, he has just taken a smaller role at other events that have gone on. And during those events, he has been seated. So on the 30th of April, he announced that his doctor ordered him not to walk. And yesterday, he moved a meeting with Catholic pharmacists to his residence so that he did not have to walk as far. The Vatican is saying that he has a torn ligament and an inflamed ligament in his right knee, thus resulting in knee pain and leg pain. And he will be having a little injection that is meant to take that inflammation down. Of course, the Pope is 85 years old, and he has been saying that during this time, this pain is also bringing him humiliation. He said it's been an opportunity as well to offer the pain, especially for what's happening in Ukraine, John.
Ashley, I can't help but think of St. John Paul II and the suffering and the pain that he went through in the final years of his life. And now this Holy Father, Pope Francis, is also having to deal with some of this redemptive suffering.
Right, exactly. And Pope Benedict XVI Emeritus is also has been suffering a lot, especially ever since his bout with shingles. He's also been dealing with skin issues and is very uncomfortable. So we see these examples of certainly handling the suffering that God gives and understanding its salvific value.
Well, Ashley, we have a lot more to talk about. We want to touch on the Ukraine situation as well, but we need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this miracle moment.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Hi, yes, thank you, Patrick. First, I just want to say I really enjoy your show, and as a revert back to Catholic faith, you've been very instrumental in my learning about the faith. And Patrick, I do appreciate you taking opposing views, and I think you do a very good job in bringing that out, and you're very fair. And anyway,
thank you.
I appreciate your show and what you do on your program. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. Very kind of you. Do you hear that, Cyrus? Listening to Relevant Radio Help might come back to the Catholic Church. Isn't that awesome?
I love it.
Love that.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. You can give on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Su finisci la coi baci bel moruccio birichin.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales as we continue here with day three of our Give Hope Pledge Drive. Thanks so much for being with us, and we are continuing our conversation with our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona, from the Eternal City. Ashley, can you give us an update on the latest from the Italian perspective of the situation with the Ukraine-Russian war and this humanitarian crisis that we've been seeing?
Absolutely, John. Well, first of all, it's interesting to note that just yesterday, Pope Francis said in an interview that came out in Corriere della Sera that he asked the Secretary of State, Cardinal about 20 days into the Russia-Ukraine war, to convey the message to Putin that the Pope was willing to meet him in Moscow. The Pope went on to say that they have not had a response from Putin, and he is concerned that Putin does not want to have a meeting at this time. And then when the Pope was asked about the possibility of a visit to Kyiv, he said that he was not going to be going to the Ukrainian capital for the moment. He wanted to meet Putin first, but instead has sent two cardinal delegates as his envoys. And then this past Sunday, while speaking to the crowd in St. Peter's Square, the Pope said his thoughts went immediately to the city of Mariupol, the city of Mary, and again lamented the suffering caused by the invasion and asked all of the faithful to pray a rosary every day for peace. And then in the meantime, in Italy has taken in at this point about 70,000 refugees coming in from Ukraine, and they are living in various centers or with Ukrainian friends and relatives who were already living in Italy. An interesting cultural thing is that starting on Monday, children in Rome's city-run schools, so from all the way from kindergarten up to junior high, they were served a special Ukrainian lunch menu. And the idea was to help children imagine what life might be like for children in other countries, but especially during a time of war, and to introduce the children to different cultures. And so it was also an effort to welcome Ukrainian child refugees who have fled Ukraine and arrived in Roman schools now in the past few weeks. And so the children enjoyed varenki, which is a sort of ravioli filled with meat, cooked with butter. And then they had the classic chicken Kiev served with a side of buttered potatoes. And then in the meantime, Rome has issued a special guide offering help to Ukrainian refugees, showing them how to live successfully in the Italian capital here. here, how to get around, how to manage bureaucracy, etc. They also decorated a subway train in the colors of the Ukrainian flag with the words peace written in both Italian and Ukrainian. So these are some of the things that have been happening here, John.
Well, Ashley, we continue to unite our prayers to those of the Holy Father with the faith that the consecration of Russia and Ukraine will pay dividends in the long run. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Swiss Guard is celebrating an anniversary. How's the Vatican honoring the Swiss Guard?
Yes, it's a very big deal. In fact, on the 6th of May, it's the annual swearing-in ceremony of the new recruits of the Pontifical Swiss Guard. And as you mentioned, John, it commemorates a very important anniversary. It was the sack of Rome back in 1527 when 147 Swiss Guards fell while defending Pope Clement VII's life during that sack of Rome. So this is really considered the one of the major events of a Swiss Guard's life, this ceremony where they follow in the footsteps of guards who for centuries before them have sworn allegiance to the Pope. It will be in St. Damasus Courtyard. So it's very exciting because for last year, for example, the new recruits were only allowed to have their immediate family present. This is still a private event, but now there will be more people present. It's a wonderful celebration. It's so exciting to see the young men, to see their enthusiasm. The Swiss Guard band plays, and of course, each guard individually swears his allegiance to the Pope. So let's pray especially for these young men who devote their next couple of years to living here at the Vatican and protecting the life of the Holy Father.
Well, Ashley, we got to go, but as always, thanks so much for your perspective of bringing Rome to home to our listeners. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Many blessings on Relevant Radio. Thank you so much for your great work.
Grazie, grazie. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Chain of Love by Steve Goodyear, talking about the difference one person can make and you can make during our pledge drive. How do you account for your remarkable accomplishment in life? That was Queen Victoria of England asking Helen Keller, how do you explain the fact that even though you were both blind and deaf, you were able to accomplish so much? Ms. Keller's answer was a tribute to her dedicated teacher. If it had not been for Annie Sullivan, the name of Helen Keller would have remained unknown. Speaker Zig Ziglar tells about little Annie Sullivan as she was called when she was young. Little Annie was no stranger to hardship. She was almost sightless herself due to a childhood fever and was at one time diagnosed as hopelessly, quote, insane by her caregivers. She was locked in the basement of a mental institution outside of Boston. On occasion, little Annie would violently attack anyone who came near. Most of the time, she generally ignored everyone in her presence. An elderly nurse, though, believed there was hope, and she made it her mission to show love to the child. Every day, she visited little Annie. For the most part, the child did not acknowledge the nurse's presence, but she still continued to visit. The kindly woman left cookies for her and spoke words of love and encouragement. She believed little Annie could recover if only she were shown love. Eventually, doctors noticed a change in the girl. Where they once witnessed anger and hostility, they now noted an emerging gentleness and love. They moved her upstairs where she continued to improve. Then the day finally came when this seemingly hopeless child was released. Annie Sullivan grew into a young woman with a desire to help others as she herself was helped by the loving nurse. It was she who saw the great potential in Helen Keller. She loved her, disciplined her, played with her, pushed her, and worked her until the flickering candle that was her life became a beacon of light to the world. Annie Sullivan worked wonders in Helen's life, but it was a loving nurse who first believed in little Annie and lovingly transformed an uncommunicative child into a compassionate teacher. If it had not been for Ann Sullivan, the name of Helen Keller would have remained unknown. But if it had not been for a kind and dedicated nurse, the name of Ann Sullivan would have remained unknown. And so it goes. Just how far back does that chain of redemption extend? How far forward will it lead? Those you have sought to reach, whether they be in your family or elsewhere, are part of a chain of love that can extend through the generations. Your influence on their lives, whether or not you see results, is immeasurable. Your legacy of dedicated kindness and caring can transform lost and hopeless lives for years to come. You can never overestimate the power of your love. It's a fire that once lit may burn forever. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Father Marcel Tayon will join us to begin a special series on the mysteries of the Rosary. Today, we're going to talk about the joyful mysteries. Plus, our personal success coach, Dave Duran, will be with us to talk about seven traits of long-term performers. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour as we continue asking for your support with our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.